Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is our flagship website where you can go and find lots of stuff, lots of good stuff that will help you out, including archives of past interviews, thousands of those, thousands of articles that you can read from our Brain Trust members. Our blog is there. You can subscribe to our newsletter there. And then we have our new website, the knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. So check both of those out. No barrier to entry, smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Tamar Jacoby is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Tamar is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. She is the editor of the book Reinventing the Melting Pot. There is nobody on the planet who knows more about this immigration debate that's going on right now, and we're glad to have her as our friend. Tamar, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Tamar, before we get into the bill, in case there's someone out there who's, you know, just crawled out of a cave somewhere or come up, you know, some Rip Van Winkle that just woke up after being asleep for 20 years, we've got America's living room has a huge, and it's turning ugly. It's not just, you know, when people think of an elephant, they think of, you know, this benevolent animal that everybody loves. But this elephant in our living room is getting ugly, isn't it?
That's a very good way to put it, Jim. Yeah, we are having a big national debate about, but you know, I mean, it's right that we're having a big national debate about immigration. It's changing. It's the fact of it's one of the central facts of the 21st century. We are seeing an immigrant flow of a kind that we didn't see through much of the 20th century. We are, and so is Europe, and all of our countries are grappling with how do we make sense of that. We need the labor to keep growing, as does Europe.
That's one of the facts, isn't it? And that we do need the labor. And used to, you were talking about Europe. Europe has had a decline in birth rates, so they certainly need the labor, don't they?
That's where I was going. We need the labor to keep our economy growing. They need the labor to keep their population growing, keep their pension system working, keep their countries really afloat. But of course, immigrants are different, and the question arises, you know, can your country deal with that difference? How different can your country deal with it? Can your country absorb them? And how do you make the, even if you need that labor, you still might want to say, well, okay, we need that labor, but do we want to have all those people whose labor we need become citizens or not? That's a legit question.
You asked this question in an article that you published recently, actually over the weekend. That's called A Long-Awaited and Welcome Moment, talking about the new bill. You actually posed the question that we have to decide what we want, who we want the future Americans to be.
And that's a legit. That's a question we've asked ourselves. You know, since our founding, we've been having debates about that, and it's a fair question to ask. But you're also right; the debate's getting really ugly. And just because it's important, and just because the stakes are high, and just because people disagree, it doesn't have to get as ugly as it's getting.
Well, but that's the state of politics these days, I think. And there is no civility. In fact, the uglier it gets, Tamar, the less leadership we find, and therefore this elephant is allowed to get bigger and uglier. And this immigration elephant, this illegal immigrant elephant we have, is getting bigger and uglier. And there's no leadership. There seems to be hasn't been the kind of leadership to help us get rid of this elephant. But we've got to do something about it because our borders are not protected, it seems to me. We've got some crime issues that we have to deal with. But there are some realities, like the fact that we need the labor. There are realities like the fact that there are 12 million human beings. There may be as many as 12 million illegal human beings in the United States. These are humans that we have to do something with. Many of them are hardworking, law-abiding people. But you know, what do we do with all these people? And so now comes this new immigration bill, one that we've been trying to get some kind of an immigration bill out for a long time. Now we have one that seems to be popping its head up. Tamar, tell us about it.
Well, I mean, I want to talk about the leadership for a moment because, I mean, these are leaders in the Senate who have been trying to pull this together, and it's not leadership. It's I take your point. There's no leadership. You know, what if Reagan were around telling us how to get our heads around this or trying to put you know, the ugly debate in its place? We're not seeing that kind of leadership, but we are seeing some kind of leadership from you know, both the president and these leaders in the Senate trying to say, let's come up with a solution, even though it's hard. And I mean, that's the point about this compromise. To get enough votes in the Congress to pass something on this issue requires it to bridge from the far right to the far left. Because there are going to be enough people in both parties who aren't going to want to do it at all. So to get enough on each side, you really have to get a consensus all the way from Senator Kennedy to Senator John Kyle of Arizona. I mean, it doesn't get much more polarized than that.
And it's going to have to, and everybody is going to have to accept something they don't like, aren't they?
Well, they are more than that. I mean, there's nobody who really likes this bill. There's nobody in America who really likes this bill. Almost everybody involved in the debate strongly dislikes, almost hates some key part of it. But I would argue that it delivers enough that it's better than nothing. And we can talk about what I like. And
Are you saying what I heard somebody say about another issue not a while back, and something that I've started subscribing to, and that is to not let should we not let the perfect be the enemy of the good?
That's exactly right. Now, of course, there is such a thing as the bad, right? The bad is the enemy of the good too, and
right.
You know, you have to look at this hard and say, is it bad? Because there are parts of it.
But the problem is the right's bad is not the same, is the left's good, and vice versa.
Exactly.
And when there's no leadership, when you don't have leadership, you don't have compromise, and so all you wind up with is a lot of hot air and not a whole lot of solutions. When we come back here for these messages, I'm gonna get Tamar to lay out the fundamentals, the basic steps of this bill, and we're gonna talk about that, and then we're gonna talk about what happens afterwards. When's it going to be voted on? What are the chances of getting this thing passed this year? And Tamar Jacoby will help us with that. She is senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, and she and I will be right back after these messages.
Back and a beautician at the wheel. We're going downtown in the middle of the night.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Tamar Jacoby, the editor of Reinventing the Melting Pot, The New Immigrants, and What It Means to Be American. And many of you have seen her byline in publications around the country. If you go online and type in immigration reform or debate or anything like that into Google, you're going to find something that Tamar's written maybe as recently as this weekend. You can find her on Real Clear Politics. She's senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, and that's Manhattan-Institute.com, right? Or is it .org?
.org.
Manhattan-Institute.org, where you can find all of Tamar's work. Tamar, lay out the new bill. What, by the way, what is the new bill called? It's got a name, right?
What is it called? I'm suddenly blanking. I'm not sure it does have a name yet.
I haven't heard anybody call it a name. I thought you might.
I mean, they've been calling it a lot of names, but not any name.
Not any name we can use. This is a family show, Tamar. So, what about? Sometime before you go, we need to come up with a. It's in the Senate, though, right? So it'll have an S number.
Yeah. Well, it isn't even introduced as a bill yet. It's a compromise, so they don't even have legislative language yet.
Well, now that's something I heard somebody complaining about yesterday. That this is a weird way to be bringing something like this up.
It is a weird way, but it was the only way to get there. I mean, you've had 10 to 15 senators spending 2 hours a day on this for 2 months. I mean, the Senate doesn't work like this. People don't understand how historic and hard won this deal is.
So you're saying that what they're doing is they're saying, if we were to bring a bill to the table, what would we have consensus enough to pass it?
They're actually floating
a trial balloon
They went in the back room and they hashed it out for 2 months. Almost every afternoon, a bunch of senators in a small, stuffy room for 2 hours, and finally got to what they thought was what they could agree on. And they're getting close to actually having legislative.
Who are the people? Who are these senators on the left and the right? Who are they? Ted Kennedy's one of them.
Most important is Ted Kennedy and John Kyle of Arizona. He's also with Kennedy.
as opposite politicians as there are in the world.
That's exactly right. And both determined leaders, determined to produce a solution here. Last year, John Kyle was against the bill. And was the main opponent of the bill in the Senate, really, one of them, did all he could to stop it. And he went back to Arizona this year running for re-election, and he campaigned around the state, and he just came back to Washington, and he said, I've got to be on the side of the solution, not the side of the problem. And he rolled up his sleeves, and he really drove this process for good and for bad. It was really a conversation that somebody said between the people who voted yes last year and the people who voted no last year. And the people who voted no drove the conversation and drove the solution their way. So this is more of a, despite the fact that we have a Democratic Senate now, this is a more conservative bill that got passed in the Republican-run Senate.
Well, tell us what the basic elements of the new proposal. It's not a bill yet; it's just a proposal. Tell us what the basic elements are.
Much tougher enforcement on the border.
What does that mean?
In doubling of the men, more technology.
No wall.
Trip wires. Well, there is wall. I'm getting to the wall. Trip wires and unmanned aerial vehicles and lights and sensors and wall for 370 miles and vehicle barrier for 200 miles. And more
prison. So serious patrolling of the border. Serious. So the people who say we're not in charge of our borders will like that part.
Right.
Okay.
And even more important than that, because the real way you get control of the border is not on the border. I mean, this is the thing no one understands. The real way you get control of the border is in the HR division of the company, 3,000 miles from the border. The real place you get control is when you hire somebody. Mm-hmm. Do you have a way to know whether that guy is legal or not?
Right.
And right now, we don't really give employers a way to know. They look at cards, and as all your small business owner listeners know, those cards are half the time they're fake, or more than half the time, and you have no way to check. And if you ask too many questions, you get sued for discrimination.
Right.
So the most important kind of enforcement is in the workplace. And this is going to have a tough new system where we give workers cards, tamper-proof biometric cards, and everybody's going to have some kind of card, whether it's even the immigrants and eventually the rest of us. And the employers are going to check them against a computerized database.
I bet the business sector is not too happy about that, are they?
Well, they knew it was coming. The business sector is willing in theory to do that because the business sector doesn't like being in the position of A, having an illegal workforce, and B, not having.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Just tuned in. Welcome aboard. Tamar Jacoby is here. We're still talking about the immigration bill. It deserves extra attention, so we're going to give it to them, give it to you. And Tamar is the person to do that. She's senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. She's the smartest person on the planet when it comes to immigration, as far as I know. And nobody better to discuss without any kind of an angle one way or the other, to fairly discuss the issues of this immigration discussion that's going on. It's not a bill, hasn't been presented in front of anybody. They're trying to find out, you know, what will the market bear, basically, aren't they, Tamar?
Well, and it's soon going to be a bill. Let's not exaggerate that. There's an agreement, and it will soon be a bill. And we only let's keep going through the components.
Let's back up. We're going to have more security on the border, and we're going to have a card of some kind.
And a way for employers to check a database and find out if that worker they hire is legit or not, and then have serious fines, much higher fines, times four, for the businesses that don't play by the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So and most important, none of the rest of the bill is going to kick in until we have this enforcement ready, until we've hired these guards, until we've fixed up the computer system, till we've got those cards ready. So the government's going to have 18 months. We hope they can do it in 18 months to get all that stuff in place, and the rest of the system won't kick in until it is in place.
What about the amnesty issue? What do we do with the 12 million illegals?
So then that's the next step. We're going to ask all 12 million people to come forward and register and be fingerprinted and undergo background checks and pay $1,000 and get to start $1,000.
Isn't this exactly what you and I recommended a year ago, Tamar? Didn't you and I on this show say?
For a long time.
Didn't you and I both on this show say that we need to get these people out of the shadows, bring them into the daylight, charge them a little something, but not something big that they can't pay, and start them on the process? Isn't that where? They've been listening to us, haven't they?
Well, people have tried to take some of the best ideas floating around. But then this guy, he now is called a Z visa holder. He gets a Z visa. He's got 8 years to decide if he wants to apply for citizenship or not.
Right.
And in that 8 years, if he wants to be a citizen, for one thing, he has to go home and apply from home. Number two, he's got to pay a lot more money, $4,000 more, so it's a total of $5,000. And he's got to meet certain criteria. We've got a merit-based system.
So he can't apply for citizenship while he's here in the 8 years. He can only work for 8 more years, and if he doesn't apply for citizenship, he has to go home. And if he wants to apply for citizenship, he has to go home and apply from there.
Yeah, and he gets to come back. He doesn't have to wait at home. It's a short trip home.
Okay, so he just goes home. He goes home and applies and then comes back during his 8 years.
Yeah, and the people who don't want to be citizens can stay here as not citizens.
And then go home.
We're not trying to round them up and make them go home.
No, but I mean after 8 years, they have to go home, right?
No, it's not practical because we can't. You know, 12 million people. What if they don't want to go?
I'm confused about that, though. I mean, if they're illegal.
No, well, they have to come forward. They have to get the Z visa.
So they become illegal. They become illegal alien then.
Exactly.
All right.
And so some people will choose to spend the rest of their lives here as legal aliens. And there's not much we can do about that. But at least we've got them in out of the shadows, and they're paying taxes, and we know who they are.
And we still have the workers.
And we still have the workers.
Yeah.
And the ones who want to be citizens have to go through this longer process, and it's going to cost money, and it's a difficult process. So, you know, maybe they won't.
So they could stay they could stay indefinitely as a Z worker.
Yeah.
I see. That's not going to work for a lot of folks.
Well,
by the way, Newt Gingrich says this is a horrible political move for the Republicans. Why would he say that?
Well, he thinks that the voters are going to be mad at this legalization piece. You know, we did some polling a couple of weeks ago. We asked people, we had a proposal kind of like this, a little softer, and we asked them, do you think it's amnesty? First of all, we asked them, do you like it? A comprehensive answer that included earned citizenship and enforcement. 75% of the public likes it. 75%.
Mm-hmm.
Then we said, what we asked them in as hard as way we could, but don't you think it's the amnesty? And 33% said yes, it is amnesty. And then we asked that 33%, well, are you for it or against it? 62% of the people who said it was amnesty were still for it.
Even though they thought it was amnesty. Very interesting. Tamar, great job. I'm a lot more informed. I know my audience is too. Thank you for providing a great service for us today.
Thanks. Great to be here.
We'll see you next time. Tamar Jacoby, ladies and gentlemen, senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. Quick break, right back with Rosalind Glickman. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.